Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Titan Company Limited Q1 FY19 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhaskar from Titan Company Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for being on the call. We have uploaded our presentation already. I'll just give you a brief introduction. The quarter has been a good quarter for the bottom line. As far as bottom line is concerned, though growth has been lower than our targeted growth, the PBT, however, has been much better than the targeted PBT. Primarily in jewelry, although the growth was poorer, we have gained market share once again because by whatever we know of competitor sales, they have actually declined. And also, many of you are aware that there was almost a shift of about 250 crores of sales in the last year in June. And June itself was a very high growth. Last June itself was a very high growth, and growing on top of that was what we had targeted. Nevertheless, that's the reality. Watches have done well with growth. The only thing is, if you were to see the like-to-like growths, as in not like-to-like, the GST correction in terms of the income, this time, if you were to correct it, the top line would be 21% in comparison to last year's. Although on paper, it is lower. Eyewear has also done well by way of growth. However, eyewear has also been aggressive in terms of advertising. EBIT margins have been good. We added 46 stores in the year, in the quarter, with 44,000 sq ft. And we also disinvested our Goa company, Titan Tiles Products Limited. It was in the electronic manufacturing services business in Goa. I think we'll move on to Q&A as many of you must be waiting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone phone.
Yes, sir.
If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avi Mehta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking the question. Just wanted to kind of first ask on the jewelry segment. Now, even if I adjust for the 250 crores advancement of sales, we are looking at almost about 14% sales growth only in the first quarter. In that context, do you still retain your guidance of 25% sales growth for FY19? And just kind of an addendum to that is how July would probably, if you can share some highlight about how July has been, which does it support that, if it were?
Yeah. Hi, Avi. The primary purpose of that 25% growth for the year, there are two things. One is an increase in the market share for FY19 and building that trajectory for FY23 of doubling our market share. And the second is an improved profitability which comes with that kind of growth. Now, we have certainly achieved our market share gains in general terms in Q1, even though we have about 10% points below in terms of sales growth. And we have certainly achieved and exceeded our profit targets for the quarter. So in that sense, a substantive part of the ultimate reason for 25% growth has been achieved in Q1. Now, July itself has been pretty good. Our growth in July is close to 70%. If I remove a depressed part of July for the first 3 weeks, which was depressed because of the advancement into June last year, and I look at post that, it's a healthy 40% growth. So we're not going to be holding to the 25% for the year, because that's a little, frankly, a mathematical kind of thing, in a sense, taking the entire shortfall of quarter one into the 9 months. But I would hold on to the 9 months target that we had originally set for ourselves.
When you say you hold on to 9 months, you're saying let's remove whatever happened in Q1, and for the remaining 9 months, you will still kind of target a 25%.
The purpose of that 25%, which is 15% growth, was the target. If you remember, I clarified that the growth target for Q1 was 15% in the conference.
Correct.
Against that 15%, we have achieved only 4, right?
Yes.
Now, the purpose of that 15% was to increase the competitive advantage market share and achieve a certain profit growth.
Okay.
We have achieved all that, even though we have not achieved the 15%, because the industry seems to have declined between 10% and 25%.
Okay, so whatever was the implied 9 months that you are still retaining, it's just let's leave the one. That's how I should see it.
Correct.
Okay. The second and question,
July,
sir, was...
And the July is supporting that.
And the July is... Okay, okay, fair enough, sir. The second bit was on the margin expansion in the jewelry segment. Now, despite a very muted, if I may say, only a 10% growth in the studded segment, you have been able to show almost 100 bits margin expansion. Now, just wanted to understand the nature of this. Is this the new launches, or and in turn, because of this, the ability to attract our customers to higher value products, which make basically moves up to a structurally higher margin level? Or, you know, what exactly is it? So, you know, the underlying, what I want to understand is, as long as we continue with this, the thing that we are doing, which is what we're doing right in terms of innovation, would it be fair that we are actually at this level as a new base? And if not, why?
The 100 bips expansion came, I would say, almost 50-50 from a gross margin expansion and an overhead compression. And part of that overhead compression was also, you know, advertising led. The gross margin compression, we had a small improvement in the studded share, like you said, 10% as opposed to the 4% overall growth.
Hmm.
So the cost compression is more a quarter phenomenon, because I don't expect that cost compression advantage to come in. So I would, you know, we are gunning more for the target of profit for the year, rather than now looking at this as a new normal in terms of the EBIT margin for the of the quarter for the year.
Okay, sir. And sir, lastly, if I may, the watch performance has been very healthy. Does it suggest that we are back to the double-digit growth levels and the 15% plus margins that we've traditionally associated with this segment? That's all from my side.
Your first assumption is right. We are back to double-digit growth for sure. 15% plus, I'm not sure. So, but certainly double-digit margin also.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I'll come back in the queue for any other question. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Gutka from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have 3 questions, basically. First thing is on the regulation on gold exchange. So, basically, a good amount of our sales come from gold exchange. So, do you foresee any adverse regulation coming from government side, given that 2 things, a good amount of exchange is coming from the form of bar and coin rather than the old jewelry? And second thing is that unorganized sector can escape 3% GST. So second question is on the Golden Harvest scheme. So some of your competitors, instead of taking EMI, monthly EMI, they are taking pure gold on day one, and after 11 months, they are giving jewelry, weighing of the making charges. Do you think that these schemes are compliant with the law of the land? And third question is on the collection part, sir. So basically, we have launched 3 collections. One is Gulnas, Lavanya, and Avir. So Gulnas, sir, this is basically to target towards the high end. So what is the traction on that front? And secondly, on Lavanya, that we launched in South India. Given the very high competitiveness in South India, the market share is quite low vis-a-vis the national average. What are you doing exceptionally well to gain share out over there? Thank you.
On the first one, the regulations on exchange, the more we are exchanging, the more we are actually aligning with the purpose of the government of domestic consumption of, you know, gold from within the stock of the country. And, you know, the... I'm not sure about, you know, what kind of a regulation is potentially sitting as a threat for that. We're not really concerned with that. Golden harvest, see, typically the customers who sign up for the golden harvest equivalent of, I mean, golden harvest of Tanishq and the equivalent of any other brand is first a customer who's seeking that brand. Only when that person is seeking that brand will she or he sign up for that, you know, jewelry purchase scheme. So to that extent, somebody is offering a more attractive scheme, waiving off of making charges and all that is not really important because we fight at the brand level first and thereafter the golden harvest, you know, kicks in. Third one is Gulnaz is a national collection, very successful. Aweer is a niche entry into an emerging segment. We're very, very excited and satisfied with the early responses. And Lavanyam is a collection for South India. It's one of the things, yes, which is being used to, you know, become more relevant in weaker markets like, you know, Chennai and Kerala and all that. And that's how, I mean, that's my answer to all your questions.
Okay, sir, one last thing on Golden Harvest. Basically, I was trying to see, because some of the competitors, instead of taking EMI, they are so customers basically giving 100 grams gold. And at the day one is 100 grams gold, and end of 11th month, you can take 100 grams of gold of new jewelry, and they waive off the making charges. So are they scheme compliant? Rather than making EMI payment, they are giving you pure gold. So is it possible for you...
Yeah. I don't know about the compliant part. All I know is about the 12% rate of return. So if the imputed value of the varying of making charges is in excess of 12% imputed return, then they're not complying. On the gold part, I don't know. Whether you can give gold and all that. And we're not even thinking about it, frankly.
It doesn't impact us in a way. But the point is that if somebody were to give gold rather than cash, it's possibly because they want to not come under the ambit of the Companies Act or any other act for accepting deposits. So whether it's compliant, therefore, is something that maybe the RBI, SEBI or the MOCA have to...
I suspect the following. See, the overall point on the gold exchange that you asked, you know, this GST waiver, I mean, GST, I suspect the government will look askance at that. As in, yes, there may be some bullion dealers who are operating, but the larger interest is making it easier for gold lying in the vaults and the safe deposit lockers of consumers coming out. I think that is being served, and the more manufacturers like us encourage that. So we can also see independently the government coming down harshly, you know, raiding and all that, so the deterrent, you know, instead of, you know, it is like the black sheep, you know, just one black sheep should not, you know, spoil the party. That's a judgment I have. The gold bit, this GHSC, we don't know in what manner this is, because we know that in every jewelry shop, the manner of building also is so compliant. I'm sure they must be figuring out a way of complying, you know. That it is every transaction may be exchange or something.
Okay.
So I think there are ways that we are not bothered. It's not impeding our growth.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Sir, my first question is on the eyewear with a 16% growth. The profits are very limited. So what's the growth X of sunglasses? And this high advertising spend, will it continue? Is it largely because Lenskart has done well in the past few years? So is it a catch-up from you taking market share? So it will be a multi-quarter high ad spend?
Yeah. So actually, we are on target. If you remember our business plan presentation that we had done earlier this year, we had said that we would target volume growth from now on. We would target customers on our journey towards 10 million customers a year in a period over a period of 5 years. So we are well on our way to achieving this. And our first quarter, we had targeted a secondary growth in retail of 15% of 11%, we've achieved 15%, and we targeted a like-to-like store growth of 5%, and we've achieved 8%. So we are well ahead of our targets as far as our retail growths are concerned. And the first month of the second quarter in July, our volume sales are increasing. So we are well on our way to doing our targets for the year. If you remember, we've taken an overall target of 26% growth for the year, and we should be, we are on our way to achieving that.
Sir, two follow-ups here. So you had also said on the lower end you will be entering. So what's the status on that? And on my question on the ad spend, will that remain high? Because you are meeting the target already. So does it mean that the ad spend may not be required to this level?
No, no. So the ad spend, it's a conscious decision that we are increasing our ad spends. Even whether we do well or we are not doing well is not the criteria. We are putting significant monies into advertising. Again, if you remember our business plan, while we are taking high growth of 25%, for the year we are looking at a profit margin that is fairly muted because of the high ad spend. So that will continue right through the year. And the real purpose is customer acquisition, getting in new customers. As far as the lower priced products are concerned, they are in our stores. We ran an activation in the first quarter to clear out all our high priced products to make room for these lower cost products. So these lower cost products are in our stores now, and they have been backed by an advertising campaign which is currently running on television and was running during the India-England one-day series also. And that has got us very good traction so far.
So, sir, that's the reason for high growth in the sunglasses, the getting rid of the high-priced?
No, sunglasses, I'm talking about the eyewear business. The sunglass high growth is mainly because last year the growth was very low in sunglasses because of GST and so on. The high rates of GST came in. We had to pull out our activation at the last minute. This year our activation has gone through well. The market has received our new products well. The fast-track campaign for sunglasses was on television and that did well. So the growth in sunglasses have been very high compared to last year.
Sir, my second question is on Carrot Lane. You have mentioned that 26% growth is largely because of network expansion. So the growth in online, has it been limited? And on network expansion, these three stores, what's the expansion plan for the full year?
The growth in online was muted, Abneesh, in the first quarter, and we're looking at pushing it up going forward. I'm not immediately recollecting the network expansion plan for the year, so I'll mail it to you separately.
Sir, one follow-up here. So any particular reason online didn't do that well? Is it similar to Tanishq sales also getting impacted because of sentiment? And in the past, you have rationalized one brand. So Gold Plus was phased out. So in that context, Carrot Lane, over longer term, does it make sense to have too much of physical stores? Because the main idea behind this business was the online learnings and scaling up online. So now if you do physical stores and a lot of the growth is coming from there, longer term, why have two brands in the physical space?
No, the Carrot Lane acquisition was for three reasons. One was the customer segment that Carrot Lane was addressing was distinctly different, younger from the customer segment that Tanishq was addressing. The second was the online and the technology aspect of the business. And the third was the entrepreneurial team and spirit of that enterprise. So thereafter, what is emerging is that that woman or that young man is actually more and more comfortable buying from the store after doing a lot of research online. And in a way, the omni-channel aspect of jewelry is starting to play out. So what is critical for us is actually to deliver a certain acceptable level of financial return from the business by, running the model right, rather than worry about how much of share is coming from online versus offline. So that clarity we have reached, and we are running to that, thinking.
So Mia overlap won't be there.
Abneesh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Abneesh. Abneesh, I think we can go on this. Maybe we can speak about it outside. I'm only saying this is a portfolio aspect of it, unlike a Gold Plus and a Tanishq. They were targeting more or less the same customers.
Thank you. Participants are requested to limit their questions to two per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Vivek Maheshwari from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. My first question is on the grammage decline in this quarter. Is it just because of the base or because there was an inflation in gold price because of which there was a decline? What would you attribute that to?
Yeah, it's a small growth in sales value and I think medium single-digit growth in price of gold and therefore a small decline in grammage.
Okay, and Venkat, one another thing, you have been talking about gaining market shares, but in an overall industry which is declining and you pegged it at 10 to 25%, if I understood it correctly, would you worry it if over the longer term, what would be your base case? The overall market grows or there is some change from a customer pull perspective also beyond, wedding, given that, gifting option or number of other things have emerged. So would you worry on the overall market growth rate? Because in a declining market, gaining market share is great, but what would you think about that? How would you think about this issue?
See, it's also a little peculiar situation, Vivek. We had a 100% growth. Our own sales grew more than 100% in June 17 over June 16. Okay. So on that base, we have declined 18%. So from a CAGR point of view, actually it is a 25% or more CAGR on 16. So therefore, we have to discount the June of, 18 and, go forward and look at this problem from a slightly longer term if it occurs. I understand that if the market continues to decline from a longer and continuously from a longer term point of view, it of course is, it would be challenging to grow sales and grow share. But it's just 1 month. But technically, because we have grown 4% in the quarter and others appear to have declined between 10 and 25%, we have gained share.
Also, my assessment is, overall with the formalization of the economy and competing, opportunities in the investment space, in the financial investment, they're certainly competing with gold. Now, we were never dependent on gold as an investment for our growth. The other part, which is gold as adornment, the jewelry as adornment, certainly showing very good growth and it's consistently been growing even in our portfolio. So therefore, whether 250,000 crores, 700 tons, all that will happen, is certainly it's too early. Right now, formalization is kicking in and it's kind of stabilized even GST. So I don't think we should worry too much about whether there's going to be, a general decline in demand compression.
Okay. Sure. And last one on the margins on watches again. Any one of over here, I heard your comment about double digit margins, which was the case last year also, but anything to bear in mind when, we forecast the rest of the year, any one of in this 18.8%? And if not, then why are you not, confident on sustaining these margins? Thank you.
Yeah, so there, talk about it, I think, almost in every call that the right thing to look at is the margin at the end of the year, taking all four quarters into account. And because what tends to happen is from quarter to quarter, there are various things which come into play for the margin going up or coming down. Reasons like, in one quarter in the previous year, the same quarter, there's an activation. This year, there's no activation. The brand mix and channel mix in watches has a huge play. So various things are there, which is why we have always said in the past that take a look at the margin growth and margin per se at the end of the year, and that is what we are really monitoring. Last year we touched or crossed the double-digit margin after 8% in the previous year, and this year also, like I just mentioned to earlier on, that 15% plus is certainly not what we are looking at and what it will be. It's likely to be. Certainly be double digit.
and hopefully better than last year. I mean, that is that will be our effort.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesha from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Venkat, I didn't get your numbers for jewelry guidance, if I can call it that, for the year. You basically mentioned 25% growth or 20% plus growth is what you're looking at for full FY19. Is that what you said earlier?
Earlier when? In the conference and for the year, we had indicated that 25%.
Yeah, so the 25% holds for FY19?
No, so what I had clarified was that 25% broke as 15% in quarter one and more than 25% in quarter in 9 months.
Yeah.
You may remember at the end of the conference, I had clarified that the first quarter, because of the big base, is a 15% growth as opposed to an average of 25% for all the quarters.
Yes.
Now, that 15% we have not achieved.
Yes.
Because of, you know, our underestimation of the challenge of the June month base. So, therefore, about 300-400 crores we are short on quarter one, even though we have achieved our market share targets, we have achieved our profit targets.
Got it.
So, we are holding the 9 months targeted growth, which is implicit in that 25 and 15, but not adding back the shortfall into the 9 months.
Okay.
Is that clear?
Yeah, it's clear. Second question is, you know, you spoke about the growth in the month of July. That is coming just before your activation, I think, started in towards the end of July or starting of August. Is that an unusual occurrence, such a strong growth, even after adjusting for that basis at 40%, such strong growth just before an activation period?
No, it's not before. It is during activation period. The last week of July was the activation period in both years.
Okay, so it includes part of that. Okay.
It includes the full activation period of July in both years.
Got it. Okay. And any one-offs in the margins in the jewelry business? I know it got impacted to some extent by the weak revenue growth itself, but still much below what you've done in the last 3 or 4 years.
No, Nilay, there's nothing. There's no one-off.
There's no one-off.
I mean, whatever was there, not ready to talk. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Sachdeva from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. Just a very quick one. Venkat, what was the recycled gold percentage this quarter?
29% from the general exchange program, which is the buying jewelry from others, about 14, so 43.
Okay, because I was wondering, because, you know, why jewelry margins have expanded so much, where, you know, I would assume that the gold exchange program was also extended for most of the quarter with 100% exchange. And also, you know, the operating leverage apparently is not there, because if I were to collect, the 5.7% growth is there, but it also has, you know, 14 stores from the last quarter added and 10 this quarter. So there is some large number of store additions also are there. So I would assume that same store sales growth would be pretty challenging for the quarter. So how much mix was influential there? I mean, I'm just trying to make sense of why margins have expanded in such a quarter so much. Somebody has asked this, but if you can give some more color, how you should think about margins and what levers you have on the cost side as you see some of these quarters where the growth is slightly missing.
See, one, on the exchange itself, the share of exchange difference between Q1 of FY19 and FY18 is only marginal. It's only about 3%. So it was 40 going to 43.
Sure.
So to that extent, the impact that you may be perceiving, you know, may not be that much. That's one. The second is, we make money also by selling more differentiated products. You're only here seeing grammage decline or whatever. You're not seeing the making charges that we are realizing when we sell our products, which is a product mix aspect of it. Plus, studded jewelry has grown more than plain jewelry, even though the total growth is only 4.5%. So there is a kick in which comes in on account of the product mix. There's a kick in which comes in on account of higher making charges in gold jewelry. And these two directly contribute towards the margin, gross margin expansion. We have kept costs really under control. So, like I explained earlier, about 50% of the contribution to the EBIT expansion came from GM and 50% from cost. Now, this is not a, you know, it's not like a formula for the future, but because cost was a peculiar situation, we may not be, no. We also, you know, had business conferences in the first quarter of last year, which were not there this year, and that's a significant, from a quarter point of view, a significant item. And therefore, we were able to keep the cost, you know, almost at last year level, and gross margin in, you know, the rupee gross margin, gross contribution went up because of what I said, even at 4% sales growth. And that's how we got the 110 bips.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. Just one small thing on basically, was there some channel stocking element as well? Because I assume that if just ahead of the studded quarter, was that some channel filling which has skewed towards studded as well, while new L3s have joined in? Or was there some uniqueness about channel filling as well in this?
Not really, because the sales growth itself was muted, no? If there was channel filling, then the sales growth would also be there. It's just 4% sales growth.
But was there a channel destocking when we see this growth, or channel was not behaving anything abnormal?
No, they're not destocking, but there's no major upstocking. It's normal. From a quarter-to-quarter point of view, even last year, they would have bought ahead in end of June for the activation. This year also they would have bought.
Sure. Just one small July number that you said I just missed out. What is the July growth that you spoke about? It was 70%? I missed out?
70% is the growth, but before we all get very excited about that, just to give a perspective, the first 20 days of July of 17 were pretty sad because of the post-GST phenomenon. So on that, we have grown some 93%. And the post, that was a normal period. On that, we have grown about 40%. So that 40 is actually the real growth. I mean, even though it's a very healthy growth to project for the rest of the quarter, but it's certainly quite satisfying. It indicates that things will be good in August and September.
And that's very good to hear. So I think 25% guidance that you are giving for at least the remaining 9 months, at least the old formula stays, which is more than 25%. And the base is also not uniform. And if I look at, sorry, base for the next quarter is about 35%, going to 7 and then going to 13. So how do you see it? Like, so this 40 on the base of 35, or maybe that you are expecting more than 25 this quarter?
Yeah, we are certainly expecting more than 25 this quarter.
Okay, that,
that's how the year 25 is built.
Sure, sure. But then, you know, Q3 should be substantially better because the entire season is coming in Q3 and the base is like 7%. So wouldn't make a case for why you have to then downgrade a guidance of 25. Maybe the shortfall in Q1 could have been made up in Q3.
No, but whatever basis we had for planning Q3 4 months back, that basis has not changed just because we had a shortfall in Q1, right?
Sure. Sure, got it.
You are not like to postpone that purchase to Diwali.
Okay, great, great. Thank you so much. That's all for me.
Thank you. Participants are requested to limit their questions to 2 per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ranganathan from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is on the remaining 9 months growth. So to grow at, to maintain a target, what we had set out earlier and keep it for 9 months, we need to grow about almost 30% for the first 9 months, now say next 9 months rather. What will drive this, what will be the centerpiece of this growth? We'll just break it down in various categories. And given where the demand has been for so far, how do we see, what are the risks to this particular number?
Actually, Abhishek, just to clarify, we are not adding back that shortfall of first quarter into the 9 months. Yeah. I have done that, clarified that.
I'm not adding it back. Nor am I adding it back. Earlier also,
we were going to 30 is because of that. No? Yeah. I'm saying that 25 was broken as 15% for 3 months and whatever resultant, maybe 30% for 9 months, right?
I'm talking of that 30% only.
So compared to that 30%, we are 70% in July, which I clarified it is in a way overstated, but it is 40% in the like-to-like part of July, which is decent certainly compared to the 30% growth. So it is the same drivers which those five things that we have spoken about over the last 2 years, which is what gave us the growth last year also. Last year we grew 25%. on the same high value. Now we got an exchange also, high value wedding expansion and so on. So we are on target on expansion. We opened the number of stores we opened in Q1 is on target. The number of store months is on target. The per store sale is on target. So on the expansion side, we are pretty gung-ho. We may hopefully exceed the target. So it's the same drivers. It's just that in the month of June, the complication came. The gold rate also, you know, zoomed beyond expectation. And, you know, we lost maybe a couple of 100 crores of, you know, sales in June, which we cannot make.
Sure. So basically, just to, and my allied question to that is that how do you see the growth in the wedding and non-wedding? Because first quarter, I presume, I mean, we could have made this. I mean, if you could just help us understand that for the 1Q. And in the remaining 9 months, how should we view this? Because last year it grew almost, I think, 70% odd.
Which one?
Wedding. The wedding
rate. Yeah, yeah. So the gold rate came on the wedding. See, the number of wedding days in Q1 was less. But in order for us to, we knew this even before, you know, even earlier. So this is not a post-fact to our, you know, realization. But because the 25% target for the full year was stiff to start with, despite a very high base in quarter one, we had taken a challenging 15% target, you know, which meant that in the month of June, we had to actually exceed last year's June, which was 100% growth over June 16. So it was a very, very challenging target to start with, and it struck us, how challenging it was struck us after we failed to achieve it, frankly, you know. And so that's the reason for the, because YTD May we grew 20%, and in June we declined 18%. That's how that 4 came about. And the reason for the 4, partly wedding dates, partly gold rate, and now we are starting to catch up, and the confidence is very high. More and more of the engines are firing. The exchange, you know, program in a big way. We started marketing the exchange in the around the 10th of July, June. So the momentum has built up. We did a lot of exchange sales in July. So the share of exchange will go up. The ticket sizes will go up because the exchange customers typically come and buy at 1.5 lakhs and 2 lakhs and all that. So there will be a certain momentum effect to all this. The collection, you know, the Gulnaz has been exceedingly successful, whereas last year the Jewels of Royalty collection in July was not that successful, which is why the activation has begun. 40% growth in the activation is also built on Gulnaz. We have launched a diamond line in the affordable less than 30,000, which is doing exceedingly well and converting, you know, budget gold customers. So there are multiple weapons working and working well.
Sure. My
Sheikh, I'm sorry to interrupt, but may I request you to come back in queue for any follow-ups? Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on a great result. And I think what is more important is, I think this is indicating the success of the new strategy, I think, which you all made last year. I mean, increasing the margins in the eyewear business, in the watch business, and, you know, targeting the longer term customer for the eyewear business, and the five things in the jewelry business. I mean, congrats, I think it's a great performance. I have two questions. I would like to have Bhaskar comments on the watch margins.
Okay. You know,
because you have 18% margin in this year in the standalone, and then you say that we can only commit to a double-digit margin. I mean, you think your margins will come down from 18 to 12?
Yeah, yeah. See, we have to look at in one perspective, Rakesh, and Ravi can unscramble that a little more.
I want your point of view, Bhaskar.
I'll give you.
What a leader, I want your point of view.
This margin is driven by one fundamental change in the mix in the quarter, which is Titan. The brand Titan has grown disproportionately. 36%. Disproportionately, and that growth rate is not sustainable quarter on quarter only because there is a scheme that followed that primary push. So there was a stocking up in the quarter, which is what we have to look at in the, and it is our most profitable brand. So,
Bhaskar, there is no, on the retail level, the Titan brand has not outgrown the other brands?
It is not outgrown the other brands.
In the large format store channel,
yes, but World of Titan, for example, it is not significantly different, the growth rate. However, the correction that we had undertaken, that is happening. Okay, it was in fact subdued in terms of growth in the last year, etc. And now it has come back to growth. But this profit that is sitting at 18.8% that you're seeing is primarily on account of the significant growth in the Titan brand.
So that means the other measures that you are taking to improve your margins have not contributed much.
They have, no. I mean, 18.8 is the combination of several things. Now, if you are...
I'm pointing out, no, that the entertainment, the mix, I agree that the mix may be unpredictable.
Yeah.
Right? But there are other factors also which are as important which are going to increase in margins.
So let us explain that to you. That's why I said unraveling it. The second bit is the e-commerce channel, for example, which is growing quite fast, is the most profitable channel. So channel mix is also helping us. Now, it is not specific to this quarter that the channel mix has helped take it up to 18.8%. There's a compression of cost that has happened. So it is multiple. The compression of cost...
Sorry, what you are saying, I could be mistaken. You are saying three factors are responsible. One is compression of cost.
Yes.
One is because the channel mix is going in favor of the online, which is most profitable. And third, because of the mix where Titan brand has sold most.
Yeah.
Therefore, what is unpredictable is the Titan brand. It's the mix of the brand. But the fact that the online is growing is a trend.
Correct.
It should grow. And your cost compression is a reality. I don't know. Anyway, it's okay. I mean, I see it is not the only reason. I think we are being pessimistic on the margins, what I see personally. I could be wrong, folks.
No. Rakesh, there are two more things. I didn't complete the statement. There are two more things, and Ravi just actually added to that. One is also this BAM effect, no? It is in the current quarter. Business associates meet, which was for the company, was 20 crores. So substantial part of 10 crores.
11
was sitting in the watch. That is not there in the this quarter. And there is a...
Can't be there in the future quarter also, no, Bhaskar?
Sorry?
That will not be there in the next quarter also, no?
It was not there last year also.
Yeah, and it will not be there in the future quarter also.
Yeah.
Stock profit will come back.
Anyway, I think my point is that the significant improvement of
Titan brand.
Is Titan brand.
Primary thing.
And it was primary.
Primary.
It is primary. Therefore, the sustainability of that is certainly not going to be possible.
Therefore, the mix by the sale of the online channel in the cost compression is not so important.
But it's important enough, but that is a sustainable compression and improvement of margin.
And mix is
targeting a 15% is a valid point, Rakesh. But the target...
No, you're not admitting 15, no, you are saying it will be above double digit here. If you say 15, I accept. From 18, it will come to 15. But what you want to commit is it will be double digit. So it could be 11, it could be 12, which is what I find surprising. You say 15, I think that's reasonable here.
No, 15 is a target, not for the year. Certainly not for the year.
Oh. Anyway, congrats on a fine result. And what about the... how many customers do we have in eyewear now? We are targeting 10 million in 5 years.
Yeah.
But how many customers do you have?
We ended last year with 2.4 million customers, Rajesh. This year we are targeting 3.7 million customers, which is a growth of 54% in our number.
Congrats, Ronnie, whoever has made this strategy, congrats to him. I think you're, in my opinion, I could be wrong, it's a beautiful strategy. Then you get the customer in first, let him, you know, become your customer, and then of course he's going to remain, you'll get the volume and you'll get the profit. I mean, I won't mind if we don't earn money this year and next year, as long as we acquire the customer and keep him satisfied. Then he'll ask for life. Congrats, Ronnie, your good performance here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vicky Punjabi from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Richard here. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. So I just want to continue on that, on the topic of watches. So I see that World of Titan retail growth is about 3%, and you know, your reported primary growth is about 20. And I also see that fine print in that retail growth slide, which says that watches non-World of Titan channels at 50% of revenue. And with LFS also at about 17%, does it mean that the distribution channel, the primary growth in that has grown something like 50-60% or something like that during the quarter?
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. So there are various things. One is in terms of the upstocking that we were talking about. It's the trade channel, which is the distribution channel, which grew very well. In fact, there the growth is very close to 40%. We also did some restructuring of our margins with, the dealers, and that's helped. Coming to specific retail growth in watches in WOD and FTS, last year we had the, on completion of 30 years of Titan, we had the 30% off flash sale, which did very well in the month of June. So if you look at, our growth in retail in the retail channel, April was very good, I think, at around 9%. May and June is when it dropped. And that was for the reason of both World of Titan and in Fast Track Store, we had the activation of 30%, which was not there this year. So that's really the story there. But the LFS channel as well as the Helios stores have done very well. We've gained market share this year in the large format store channel.
Is there any way you can help us try and forecast how will this unwind in the coming quarter or two?
So we are, our trade channel, like I was saying, has done very well. Over the coming quarter, we have plans to introduce, apart from introducing new products, we have to ensure that their stock finally sells out. So there are various things being planned to ensure that we, the retail is much, much better. So that their stock levels come down and the primary build-up that we were talking about, is then retailed out. So that's how it will, the primary therefore will slow down, which is why, the margins we were talking about will not be similar to the first quarter. We had an activation starting on the 31st of June for brand Titan, which is why we, all the channels were up stock. And that is the primary effect that we were talking about.
Okay, thanks for that. I'm just shifting to jewelry. This sequential decline in capital employed of about 700 crore or so. What would be the reason for that? Is that because of more gold on lease or anything like that?
Inventory. What? We had an inventory reduction.
Inventory reduction or capital employed?
Capital employed is talking. So inventory reduction was the big thing.
Sequential capital employed.
No, you're talking about sequential. You're talking about sequential.
He's on sequential.
You had about 2,300 crore of capital employed in jewelry, which has become 1,700 in the console segment reporting.
Oh, okay. I think that is not the cash, no? That in the console, the financials, you don't have cash. We take cash out.
See, we certainly, Richard, we decreased inventory, fell about 450 crores June 18 versus March 18. So that was a big reduction in the capital employed, clearly. And that would have contributed to much of the difference that you're talking about. A much better management of old stock.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Suman from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Two questions from my end. Firstly, can you tell us what the customer growth was in jewelry? And secondly, on this inventory reduction, so was this an inventory reduction in the sense that you just cut down inventory, retail inventory, or was this more of a reduction at your facilities or the stock of gold that you hold?
The customer growth was more or less flat for the quarter, and the inventory reduction was in the stores, substantially in the stores. And see what happens is that the share of old inventory, which is, if I take more than 12 months, it starts the more than 12 months starts becoming less and less productive. Even the store staff get a little, you know, sort of detached from it. So a much better management of recycling that more than 12 months extracts value from the inventory without really affecting choice for the customer.
So, I did not understand the last bit.
Supposing a store has got 50 kg of inventory, and let's say 15 kg of that is more than 12 months, which means that it's not really appealing to the customer, it's not really useful in sales. So if I take out 10 out of the 15 kg and build it up across the country, I make it 1 ton or 500 kg, for example, right? Without affecting the choice offered in those stores, 500 kg of sales, I mean, stock is extracted and used for production. We recycle it and use for production. So the result on 30th June inventory is 500 kg less than 31st March. Without... buy more is okay. I'm saying the production is less than sales.
Yeah, but this will just be the finished good inventory, right? So your overall inventory in the system should remain the same, right?
If you're keeping 2,000 crores of inventory before this action and 1,600 crores of inventory after this action, then the total inventory reduces, no? Because we don't buy. Instead of buying gold, we recycle gold.
Understand. So instead of just buying, it goes back
so
into
production is less than sales.
Understand. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prasad Deshmukh from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. First question, couple of months back, there was this talk of credit squeeze for small jewelers as a result of this banking, alleged banking scams and so on. Just wanted to know if there is any improvement at the industry level in terms of credit availability for smaller or regional jewelers.
My understanding from some discussions with banks has been that they have been tight and they will continue to be tight.
Okay. And secondly, is there any update on this 100% hallmarking regulation? I mean, it was supposed to be notified in June, but the date has got delayed.
No update.
There is no update. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Vora from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So, first question, in your five-year growth aspiration for jewelry business of 20%, what is the industry growth rate which you are factoring in? And did you imply that the 10-25% decline which you saw, the industry saw this quarter, was largely because of the base effect and there is nothing wrong structurally or like nothing, otherwise like nothing had changed? That's the first question.
5% is the approximate growth rate that we had assumed in our FY23 thinking as opposed to our 20% CAGR. And the first quarter 10-25% decline, I'm not very sure how much of it is structural. Part of it is certainly base effect. And part of it is for multiple reasons, the rest of the jewelry industry is under pressure. One is the credit squeeze that Subbu was referring to. The second is the customers worry about buying from, you know, disreputable jewelers and all that. Third was the complication of the gold, rate itself zooming like that in parts of May and certainly parts of June. So, and it's just 3 months, so we'll have to see whether there is any, slightly longer-term trend to it once we do another quarter. But the 5% is the assumption for 5 years.
Sure. And second, just a bookkeeping question, sir. Your depreciation this quarter increased by 42% year-on-year. Is there some asset which you capitalized, any investment which you made?
No, two things. One is that last year we moved from a rented premise to our own corporate premise, right? And that depreciation kicks in. Secondly, we also... Secondly, we also changed some of the depreciation on some of the furniture fixtures. Okay, we are accelerating a depreciation because of the life when we worked it out. So that is the reason why the deposition is high.
Sure. So this will be the new base going forward.
Yeah, you can take that.
Sure. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. I just had two questions on the industry scenario in jewelry. The first question was, you know, on the June month, you know, you in the base, you had said, you know, there was 100% growth. Would it be fair to assume that probably industry would have seen inline or even higher growth, given that, you know, gold sales would have been higher for, say, smaller jewelers? Hence, even the industry decline is sharper on account of that. Would that be a fair assumption?
Very difficult to answer that. See, the GST-related advancement of 250 crores that we had, it is very likely that it would have been common to the other industry. Everybody would have, you know, sort of advanced their purchase. So the last 10 days of June, which was some 300% growth we had, possible. But the first 20 days of June last year, we had a very successful exchange scheme because of which that 100% for the whole month of June was also driven by the first 20 days, our exchange scheme. The industry didn't have something like that. So I'm not very sure whether the industry base was also 100% plus. See, their decline is also to do with, see, we are, for example, our exchange scheme is a powerful engine which is driving our performance now. There has been no such change in the industry's policy. So I'm not very sure whether the 100% was equally operative there.
I have one more hypothesis, which is not substantiated. See, this year, this phenomenon adhik mass was prevalent. So the wedding dates in the April-June quarter were far less. Now, the proportion of wedding sales, jewelry sale in the industry trade is higher than our proportion. Therefore, the decline is therefore higher, is my hypothesis. And we are therefore relatively better off in a quarter when the wedding sales is low. So that's the third reason, I think.
Sounds logical.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. The next question, you know, was on the gold prices. So anything you picked up, you know, from customers that, you know, they are shying away a little bit because of the, you know, gold price movement, you know, initial signs that you picked up yet, or it's too early to say?
Right now, you're saying, or in the month of June, certainly we picked up. Because when we keep calling customers, they say, no, the gold rate is a little high now, we'll come later. These are the signals which we used to conclude that they are staying away for the moment. And the rate itself was high.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madan Gopal from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
My questions have been answered. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mihir Shah from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Manoj here. Did I hear correctly, you know, that was there a statement that the customer acquisition growth is actually flat, you know, as we speak?
I mean, it's a little in low single digits, Manoj. But the retail sales growth in the first quarter was 8%, if I remember right. Whereas the reported company sales is 4-ish. So in that 8, some 4 or 5% was gold price increase for the quarter. So it's in a very low single digit. So, I mean, almost as good as flat. That's the point I was making. Not precisely flat, but very, very low single digits.
Understood. Venkat, the context I was asking is because we added 43 stores last year. We had 10 new stores in the first quarter, which itself is actually a first half heavy itself. So we had added a lot of new stores. That's one context. The second is that we had this, you know, encouraging exchanges scheme that one carat extra, if I remember correctly, in July, August of 2017, and then again in March, which I presume is still continuing. You know, these are all customer acquisition tools. So I'm just trying to understand that, you know, is there a general tapering effect on acquisition, or how do I think about this?
No, in the first 2 months of the month, we grew close to 20% in sales. And in that, customer growth would have been some 15%. It is in the month of June that crashed 18% in sales, and therefore, June had a pretty high ticket size, I remember, of June 18. So, we had a big customer decline in June of 18. So, together, it is maybe a marginal growth in, you know, Q1. Whereas July, we are up significant increase in our customer growth in July is nearly 50%. 45%.
So, out of that 7...
Base is low, but, sorry?
Yeah, sorry, the 70% number, if I remember correctly, you said you're saying 45 out of the 70 is actually customer growth.
Correct. Okay. But the base is low, therefore we have to take it with a pinch of salt. But if I take the last week of July, where the sales value growth is about 40%, the customer growth is nearly 20%.
Understood. And secondly, Subbu, you know, going through the information update which you published at the end of the quarter, you know, I believe this was it's slightly different because you spoke a lot about there is a paragraph on the imports and you know how actually that's come down, etc. The only context I wanted to ask is that if I recall, you know, and looked at the earlier you know such releases, we have never really commented about gold imports and you know this. I mean the macro part of it actually. It is more about jewelry. So is there any message there or is it just that it was such an exceptional some sort of event which happens we just kind of called it out? Because I think if you ask me, that should not have had any impact on your business. Because you are adornment and you know this is more to do with what's otherwise happening.
The fact that you know what we've also seen from channel checks that there has been a decline in the quarter was the message you were trying to say.
The industry performed.
The industry, yeah, as a whole, the industry has not performed.
He was trying to use that to support the fact that the industry has declined and we have not grown to be a scheduled like that. In the sense, therefore, market share improved. I think that
it is corroborating what we are hearing on the ground. From, you know, our contacts in various jewelers.
Okay. Understood. Thanks, guys. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ranganathan from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Second round. Question is actually I had. My question was on the ticket size largely on where are we on average ticket today and ticket size in detail.
Where are we on the ticket size? We are around 75,000.
Because if you are considering the weighting is almost a quarter of our business, and Abhishek used to count
that. Sorry, Abhishek, I didn't get you.
I'm saying considering that wedding is now already a quarter of our business, and our ticket size is probably
75,000 rupees. Sorry, Abhishek, your voice is breaking.
It's breaking.
Is it better now? Hello?
Yeah, try again, please.
Yeah, so I'm wondering the ticket size because it used to be 70,000 rupees a couple of years ago.
65,000,
yes. So the 75,000 is for is the average. I would imagine that wedding would have taken it up further.
But wedding didn't do well in quarter one, no?
No, I'm asking for actually, let's leave quarter aside. I'm just asking for maybe a longer period of time, say trading 12 months or even just for last year. Just wanted to get a sense because it would capture the entire season.
No, we had a, if I remember right, we had a nearly 10% growth in ticket size last year and I think 13-14% buyer growth. So that 25 came through a combination of 13 customers and 10 ticket. Whereas this year we are targeting for something like 17-18 customer and 5 or 6 ticket. Because the early gains have come. The low-hanging fruits have been plucked. Now we are reaching for the higher branches and therefore ticket size growth is going to be a little less.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you very much for being on the call. We do, you know, the first quarter was poor by way of top-line growth, but July onwards we do expect much better growth at least. Margin, as I have been talking about, there are many, many effects sitting in the margin. So it's been a healthy quarter by way of margin, but sustaining that, certainly in the watch business, is not at that level. On the demand side, we don't see any slackening. We certainly see good demand going forward. And so if Q2 we are up and running, achieving our targets, then I believe for the whole year we'll be doing fabulously well. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Titan Company Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.